Hey, New Life Church, welcome back again together online today. Special shout out to all of you that are at home or away. And something great happened this last week at our church. It was another week of the launch of a new life group semester. And so I just want to say a big thanks to all of our life group leaders. You guys are just helping make it happen in our church. Relationships are bringing greater freedom for people. And for those of you at home or away, it is still not too late to sign up for life groups. You can simply text the word groups to 765-347-9127. And when you do that, you'll get a link of all the groups that are being offered, and you can sign up for a group. So maybe you've not been comfortable coming to an in-person service, but maybe there's a life group that you would feel safe enough to join. So text the number, get a list of the groups, and join us in a life group this spring. All right, well, we are actually beginning a brand new series today. And this series is called One Day at a Time. We just finished up our series called Reset. And if you're not caught up on that series, you can simply go to newlife4kokomo.org and see the archive of all those messages. But now that we've had this reset, right, we're ready to start our new year. It's going to take a day at a time. And in this series, we are going to be focusing on a historical account that is recorded in the Bible of a man named Joseph. His story is recorded in Genesis, and it is the longest story recorded in the book of Genesis. It goes from chapter 37 all the way to the end of Genesis in chapter 50. When Joseph was only 17 years old, God gave him a dream. This dream gave Joseph an insider look of the significance of his future. He kind of saw what God had given him purpose for. But little did Joseph know that it would take 22 years or more for that dream to come to fruition. Little did Joseph know the pain and the suffering that he would experience in the 22-year journey to his dream being fulfilled. And yet, Joseph's story is an incredible example for us today of what it means to be loyal to God in all things. Because to reach your dream destination, you have to reach it one day at a time. So let's crack into this. We're going to jump in at Genesis chapter 37, verse 1. And it says, Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed. Now, Jacob is Joseph's father. And he stayed in the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. His father had several wives. These two wives were given to him by Rachel, his wife, because these were her servants. We'll get into this story. It gets complicated. There's some weird things happening here. And he brought in Joseph on this day. He brought to their father a bad report about his brothers. So Joseph, he's the youngest of 11, 12 brothers, and he is kind of a tattletale, isn't he? And so let's see what happens. Now Israel is also the name for Joseph's father, Jacob. So in the Bible, if you hear someone called Israel or Jacob, it's referring to the same person. So now Israel loved Joseph, his son, more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. So we'll actually talk a little bit more here in a second about why Jacob favored Joseph so much. But he did make him a very special coat. And Joseph loved to show it off, I'm sure, because when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him. They hated Joseph, and they couldn't even speak a kind word to him. So before we even really launch into Joseph's life, this 17-year-old favored son of Jacob with all these brothers that just hate him, before we really launch in that story, we kind of have to see some of the family history of where Joseph is coming from. Because the reality is, Joseph's family and his extended family, all the way to his great-grandfather Abraham, it's a pretty dysfunctional family. And that's exactly what we're going to kind of unpack today, is this idea of dysfunctional family. Joseph is the product, he's born into a very dysfunctional family. There was so much drama, so much tension, so much hatred, so much jealousy just within their family. And here he is. How is he supposed to be successful? How is Joseph supposed to escape this dysfunctional family to achieve the plans and the purposes that God had given him in his dream? How is that even supposed to happen? And I think that it's something that still plagues people today when there's dysfunction in family. And I think every family has a level of dysfunction, but let's look at a little bit about the dysfunction of Joseph's family and the generations of dysfunction that took place. As I said, Abraham is actually Joseph's great-grandfather. And God had given Abraham a promise that Abraham would become a great nation. Now, the only way that you could become a great nation in the ancient times is that you had a really, 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 really big family. Generations and generations of family growing, and you occupy a land, and you become a great nation. The problem for Abraham was that he was an old man, and his wife was old, and they had never conceived children. And so, because they believed God's promise, that God had promised he'd be a great nation, he and his wife Sarah grew frustrated at the speed in which the dream was coming true, that the promise was happening. And they said, "We are old, how in the world are we supposed to have children?" And so Abraham's wife Sarah gives to Abraham her servant named Hagar. And she says, "Have a child with Hagar so that I may finally have this son that God promised." And Hagar becomes pregnant. She has a son named Ishmael. And then all of a sudden, while she becomes pregnant, has a son named Ishmael. Now Sarah hates Hagar and Sarah's mad at Abraham. And so we have this weird kind of tension and jealousy going on here. And then God eventually did allow Sarah to become pregnant with a son named Isaac. And when Isaac was born, it was seen that Ishmael was mocking this little child, Isaac, that Abraham and Sarah had been promised. And so that obviously stirred up the mama bear and Sarah. And she didn't already hate Hagar enough for what had taken place, because she was already so jealous of her that she could have a son and she didn't. But now that she has one of her own, she has no use for Hagar anymore. And they banish her, excommunicate Hagar out of the community. She's gone. And so then there's just this source of struggle between the son Ishmael and the son Isaac. And it would actually come back to bite them later on in the story. And so anyway, Isaac, he goes on and he marries a girl named Rebecca. And when he marries Rebecca, they conceive, and she is pregnant with twins. These twins are Jacob and Esau. Yes, Jacob would one day become the father of our guy, Joseph, who this series is going to be about. But when Jacob and Esau were born, Jacob was clinging to the heel of Esau. These twin brothers would grow up with one parent favoring the one and the other parent favoring the other. And all of a sudden, when this type of favoritism begins to play out, it creates a lot of tension. And so Rebecca, she loves Joseph, and Isaac loves Esau. But when the time came that Isaac was passing away and his vision was gone, and it was time for him to give the blessing to his oldest son, which would have been Esau, the mother, Rebecca, creates a plan with her son, Jacob, that they are going to manipulate and lie and cheat their way into then Jacob receiving the blessing instead of Esau. So he puts on fur, so he smells like his brother, he feels like his brother, because his brother was super hairy, and he goes in and he convinces his father that he's his brother and he receives the blessing. As you can imagine, this creates a little bit of tension and drama between the brothers now. They actually then divide up and they They can't even live close to one another. And as you can imagine, the hatred and the jealousy that takes place because of lies and manipulation in the family. What a mess. So Jacob eventually finds himself a wife. And he sees a girl coming to water her sheep one day, and her name is Rachel. When he sees her, he just knows she's the one, because the first thing he does is he makes his move and he kisses this girl. It's like that moment when he saw her coming with those sheep, he said, I'm going to marry her. And so he goes to Rachel's father and he asks for her hand in marriage. And he gets a kind of an unusual answer. The father says, you can have my daughter Rachel in marriage if you work for me for 7 years. And so that is a totally different answer than that I got when I asked for Jenny's hand in marriage. But, you know, he's in love with this girl, so he works for her father for 7 years. After 7 years, they throw a big party, right? Big marriage party. And then the time of night comes to consummate the marriage. And so Jacob, he goes into the tent. He's probably excited. Maybe he'd been drinking a little bit that night. I'm not sure, because what happens next is a bit unusual. The father, instead of sending Rachel into the tent to consummate the marriage, the father lies and manipulates and slips in her less attractive older sister, Leah. So Leah goes into the tent. Leah and Jacob spend the whole night together. And then in the morning, when Jacob wakes up, he looks over at his brand new bride and he sees the less attractive older sister, Leah, the one that he did not intend to marry. And so obviously, frustrated, he goes to his now father-in-law, and what an awkward first conversation after being married to one of his daughters, and saying, you lied to me, you tricked me, that was not Rachel, that was definitely Leah. He says, I'll tell you what, I'll give you Rachel if you work for me 7 more years, because it's not our custom to give our youngest daughter first. So Jacob agrees that he will work 7 more years in order to have Rachel. And that happens. So now you have this weird sister wives thing going on. And as you can imagine, the jealousy, the resentment, the competition that's always playing out. Because what happens next is very similar to what happens with Abraham and Sarah the generation before. Because what happens is Jacob and Leah begin to have son after son after son. But Rachel, who is the wife that Jacob really loves, was unable to conceive and unable to have child. So Jacob really loves Rachel, but Leah is continuing to have 4 and 5 sons. And so this makes Rachel extremely jealous. This makes Rachel hate her sister all the more. It is so complex, it's so weird, there's so much dysfunction going on here. I get that. And so Rachel, she gives servants to her husband Jacob to conceive, and they do. And this doesn't help Rachel feel any better about herself. But then one day God does hear her cry, and she gives birth to a son named Joseph. That's right. So Joseph is favored among his other 11 brothers because Joseph is the son of Jacob's true love, Rachel. Not Leah, not the servants, but Rachel. And as you can see, all the marriages and all of the intermingling and the generational dysfunctions and the jealousy, how it all just creates a bit of a dysfunctional family. But let's be honest for a second. Let's be honest about the fact that I think every family has some dysfunctions. Now, your family may not be Joseph family crazy, but nonetheless, there are dysfunctions in family. So, but how does Joseph survive such a dysfunctional family? I mean, God has given him a purpose, but how does he get out of that? How can something successful come from dysfunctional families? How do you escape it? What about us? What about our families today? What implications can this ancient account of this family's history and its dysfunctions have for us today? Well, I think that there are some key influencers that help mold our families. And so let's look at some of these influencers today. So some influencers that mold the family. The first is influences from the past. Influences from the past. Now, Jacob, what happens with him, his wives and servants and not being able to conceive, conceiving other ways, all of that was almost a repeat of what he and his grandfather Abraham did. So in our families, there are influences from the past that we kind of carry through the generations. And so these things help mold our families, influencers from the past. These might include a past death of a family member. This could include the presence of a family member that has an addiction. Influences from the past could be a divorce that took place, abuse that happened. But past influences, they can impact family members for decades of time. Decades. And left unresolved only tend to eventually repeat the patterns of the past. So there was patterns of behavior in the family line of Abraham, fighting between children, drama in marriage, jealousy, anger, all of this stuff was patterns in the family. But could this boy Joseph break free from the patterns of the past? So influences from the past, but also influences from the present. Influences from the present could be due to the loss of a job. It could be due to a family having to relocate. It could be a second marriage, a blended family. Each of these things guide how family drama begins to develop. These are another great influencer to what molds families. Now, Joseph's extended family constantly faced new marriages and new problems, blended families, and even eventually a famine. There was these influences from the past. There was these influences from the present. And I think families today can relate to these types of influences today. But also consider the impact of decisions. And the decisions that family members make has a great impact on the molding and shaping of our families. Because deep down, the reality is the health of a family depends on decisions that family members make. Now, this could be the decisions made by grandparents, parents, children, uncles, brothers, sisters, whatever it may be. Every family member's decisions help attribute or hurt the health of a family. But it can also help contribute to positive changes in the family too. I have seen the change that can take place in one father when that father finds and receives the gospel of Jesus, and the transformation that takes place in his life affects his family and affects generations to come. I have seen in churches where there are multiple generations of people in the church, and it all started with a great-grandfather who was the first-generation Christian, and it starts multiple generations of followers of Jesus after him. So all of these things, whether it's past, present, or decisions made, can be both negative, but they can also have incredible influence of positive change for your family. Another influence on a family is the impact of family stages. Families go through different stages because families mature, and as families mature and grow, they mature and grow based upon as family members mature and grow as well. A family with two preschool children is a whole lot different, right, than a family that has two college-age kids. So all of these influencers are things that help mold the family. And we look at Joseph. Joseph has all kinds of influencers in his life, from the past, from the present, from the impact of decisions made by other people and not necessarily him, and from the impact of the different stages of his family. But if you are listening to this today, and maybe you're grieved by some of the influencers that were given to you from your family history, listen, I want you to know, you don't have to be to live in the pattern of family of your family's past. You can break free from what has plagued you by decisions made by other people. You can be free from the pattern that of jealousy, competition, anger. You can be free from it. You don't have to repeat it. And I will say it like this, that the history of your family doesn't have to be the story of your future. And I feel like somebody needs to hear this today, that you have believed that because of where you come from, where you lived, or how you were raised, or because of patterns in your past, that you can't be free from it. But you need to hear today that the history of your family, if it's dysfunctional, it doesn't have to be the story of your future. If the history of your family unit now today, in the house where you live, if there's been dysfunction, listen, I want you to know, it doesn't have to be the story of your future. So listen, parents, if you think you've made too many mistakes and your kids are too far gone, it's not true. Because the history of your family, whether it's been the last year or the last 10 years, it doesn't have to be the story of the future. And Joseph is one that is going to show us what it means to be loyal to God and not be controlled by the past history of his family. It is a powerful, powerful story. But every family faces temptations. Temptations that we need to look at. There are some temptations that families face. The first is that there's a temptation to be swallowed up by the rush of life. And here in 2021, there are so many things that want to pull on our attention and can distract us from the mission of our families. And even in this ancient story, Abraham and Sarah, if you remember, God promised him that he would be a great nation, but he was getting old, so he had to hurry up God's plan on his own, but it only led to pain and suffering. When they tried to have a child another way with Hagar, it only created a dysfunctional family. So resist the temptation to be swallowed up by the rush of life, but also the temptation to be absent. There's a great temptation today where people want to avoid responsibility and be absent in family. I want to tell you, do not be absent from your family. Do not do that. The temptation to miscommunicate. And what does this mean? This means always jumping to conclusions. Do not be tempted to jump to conclusions about your spouse, about your children, about your parents, about your in-laws, about your brothers or sisters. Do not jump to conclusions. Go get accurate information. How do you do that? You have to communicate clearly with one another. So always, always, always fight the temptation to miscommunicate by thinking you know what the other person intends, what the other person thinks, and jumping to conclusions. Don't be tempted to do that. Also, there's a temptation to eventually drift apart. When families, they begin to drift from one another. Maybe the kids are out of the house now. And so resist the temptation to drift apart by focusing on your connection, or the temptation to ultimately give up on God. Because many people are saying, God, I need you to fix this thing in my dysfunctional family. And because you don't see it coming to fruition, we want to give up on God. So if those are temptations that families face, then what are some steps that families must take? Well, here are some steps families must take. And all of these steps are literally just the opposite of the temptations. So if the temptation was the rush of life, then the steps families must take is to slow down. Slow down and be present. Slow down, be present with your family, and also fight to communicate clearly with one another. Communication is so key in lasting functional families. And focus on connection so that you never drift apart. And then always, always, always trust God. Because here's the important truth, that God cares deeply for every single family. God cares deeply about your family. It doesn't matter your family history. It doesn't matter that maybe in the beginning mistakes were made. God cares deeply about every single family. The reason Joseph survived such a dysfunctional family is because when God is the one who is the giver of the dream, in other words, God is the giver of your purpose, then nothing can stop God. Not even where you come from, how you were raised, or whatever dysfunctions you may currently face. If God has given you the purpose and God has given you the dream, then be loyal to God and you can be free from dysfunctions that you are surrounded by. Because listen, overcome family dysfunction one choice at a time. Overcome it one choice at a time. Overcome it one talk at a time. Overcome family dysfunction one apology at a time, one change at a time, and be like Joseph. Go with God one day at a time. One day at a time. Let me pray for you today. God, I pray for every family. married, or single mothers, single fathers, grandparents, uncles, aunts, siblings. God, I pray for strong families. God, I pray that if for those that are plagued by a past pattern in family history, that they would realize that that their family history does not have to be their future story. But God, you are writing a new story. You are healing hearts. You are extracting jealousy and competition and unforgiveness and resentment. And God, you are creating free families that centered with in their love and devotion and loyalty to you. So God, I pray that in this journey, we will take one day at a time to see through the purpose and plans that you have given us and placed in our lives for here, now, today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, New Life Church, thank you so much for joining us today. If this is your first time joining us and you'd like to learn a little bit more about New Life Church, you can text the word CONNECT to the number 765-347-9127. If you're a regular New Lifer and you'd like to continue your worship through giving, there are three different ways you can give. You can give on our website, newlifeforkokomo.org. You can mail your giving to the church. The address is 1803 East Vail Avenue, Kokomo, Indiana, 46901. Or you can text New Life for Kokomo to the number 77977. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you guys next time.